Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Socking Pictures. I'm not going to talk about where I'm broadcasting from today, but we will have more for you coming up soon. Tonight, we are going to be talking about The Godfather, which played a week ago at the Segerstrom Center. I know this is kind of Orange County relevant, but this is also about not missing the opportunity to see movies when they're played with a live orchestra. We take classical music for advantage, we take it for granted, and we get these, we're wrapped up in Taylor Swift, we're wrapped up in Justin Bieber. I'm not being snobby, that's not music. You know, music comes from heart, it comes from soul, it comes from a different place. You know, we don't know where it comes from. So, with that, we had a masterpiece of a movie that played the Segerstrom, and I gave a review, a preview of it. So I discussed the film, and now as I get to be older, I realize how many people probably haven't seen The Godfather. We're jumping at Iron Man 2, and we're jumping at Spider-Man 8, and we're losing our care for the films that are the base. But this is about the beautiful Segerstrom. If you've never been there, it's wonderful. It's down by South Coast Plaza off the wonderful 405. And this is a place that has strived. I've had the good fortune to cover concerts there and shows, and through multiple halls and the cabaret, and they're just consistently contributing to the arts, and that's what I really love about it. You know, they're always their word. The PR team is great, and it's like every time you go there, you get a new experience. And I know that kind of sounds cliche. I'm not someone who would sit in a art gallery and be snobby if I knew more than you, or I'm sorry that I looked down on Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber. I think you should be playing music more than like when you're 15 to be a star and travel the world. I'm driven towards the musicians who actually lived life before they were millionaires. But again, this is not about that. So I digress. The Segerstrom, so beautiful. And the acoustics, I got to see B.B. King here, and that was one of the coolest things. Unfortunately, we all miss Mr. King. I dedicate this show to him. You know, I'm gonna do that before I bring my guests on. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna dedicate this show to thank you to the Segerstrom, but I'm gonna dedicate the show to B.B. King, because the last time I saw him out of the five or six times was at the Segerstrom, and it was an amazing experience. So with that, we're going to go into a review. Are you with us, Carolyn?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. A little technical difficulty there for a second. Aloha,
okay.
Paul.
Aloha, welcome. Well, yeah, technical difficulty. What was that?
I don't know. I pushed dial and the phone didn't connect. It just said call ended, and then I tried again.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as it's something simple like that, we're good to go. I was just talking about how beautiful all of the halls are. We, you know, you and I have gotten to see the cabaret, the middle hall, and then the main hall, and I was telling the audience how great it is that Segerstrom just endlessly throughout the year is working to keep the arts going.
Oh, of course, of course. I feel very honored that I was able to represent you, since you had some other events to cover. So thank you for that. I also want to thank Segerstrom for inviting us. It's a privilege and an honor to be there. I do want to say that I wasn't able to hear what you were sharing about the Segerstam Hall, but just for those that you then, I hope I'm not redundant, but it is in Santa Ana, California, Southern California, for our people around the world. It's about 60 miles south of LA. And it's a very, very beautiful structure. So there's some architect value there. They do a lot for the community, even in the summertime. And there's three halls there. And the arts are definitely up and thriving there. So so what I'd like to share tonight is I was able about a week or so ago to be invited to an event there. And it was featuring the motion picture The Godfather, which is a very influential and a very powerful movie in the film industry. For those of you that don't know that, I'm sure, I think pretty much everybody knows about the Godfather movies. So,
well, I was commenting on that before you came on. I was mentioning that there probably is people now that we, as we go on the 40, almost the next year will be the 45th anniversary of The Godfather. So we're probably starting to have a little bit of people who probably haven't seen it.
Oh, that's a very valid point, Paul. Thank you for bringing that up. I wasn't really thinking in that line, but that is correct. And so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was thinking earlier when my experience of that evening, what a wonderful and a delightful way to see any film with a live orchestra. It was just amazing. So basically what it was the actual film on the big screen, and any of the music, any of the score of the movie was played by a live orchestra. And it was just incredible. And I had seen this movie many times, and there's parts of the music that I thoroughly enjoy, and I didn't realize how much score was in that movie, and how much that the score was actually a character in the movie, because it sets the tone and it just involves you in what's going on, and it's just amazing. And to be there for a live performance, I was just in awe. I mean, they got a standing ovation even at intermission. That's how awesome it was. So I just wish that we had more opportunities for people to experience the arts in that way, because it gives you a whole different perspective, and it kind of unleashes something in you that it kind of brings some inner peace and joy to you. Not necessarily the topic of that movie, but just the music.
Did they score the wedding scene in the beginning?
Oh, from the beginning to end, from opening credits to the end, was a score. And in fact, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the very end credits also had a special arrangement of some of the, I want to say, behind the scenes shot, and the orchestra. I think now I don't know for sure, so I'm making an assessment. I think the orchestra, it was kind of an original, what's that word I'm looking for? Set up the music, when you change somebody's arrangement, it's their arrangement. They did kind of their own arrangement of this after credits with these pictures. It was beautiful. Like I said, from beginning to end, it was just really, really a grand performance.
Well, what I wanted to get into, and this is, you know, spoiler alert, but you know, many of the people who are into this show definitely have seen The Godfather, but again, spoiler alert, what I want to know is, you know, that's a real, almost haunting score when it starts, and it kind of sets that tone with Brando and his cat, and then it's landmark cinematography. I mean, that Gordon Willis was the master of shadows. He made that film so it could never be altered. or changed in color. There's such specific tones, and the film really takes you through a ride of emotions. It is known as one of the greatest films ever made. I would argue that it is one of the best films ever made. I tend to like Godfather 2 more, but how was it to see it indoors? Because remember, Carolyn, we had went and saw Raiders of the Lost Ark outdoors, and the symphony was amazing, but it was also not getting the acoustic. It was just going out into the air. So what was it like in a building?
Oh, it was just amazing. I mean, I remember the Raiders, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I enjoyed both films with the live orchestra. That the Raiders, you know, was bold and loud, and you know, I don't think that the outdoor affected it as much as it would have if the Godfather had been outside, because there's those times when it's just that very romantic European, you know, the violin and the harp and the, you know, that whole mood, or even when it's dangerous, when you feel the dangers coming, you kind of feel, you know, inside was, you felt very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but you kind of get lost as to where you are. I felt like I was in the movie. I know I say that often, but I did. I felt like, wow, I'm just like, I'm there. And even though I've seen the movie many times, and like, I forgot that it was as old as it is. I felt like I was seeing it for the first time.
Yes, that's an interesting thing. I mean, I know we've watched 1 and 2 numerous times together, and we miss South Coast Regency having Godfather 2 because our family came in. When I watched that movie yesterday, I kind of just have some things to talk about tonight. You know, that movie's about a half hour longer than The Godfather, so it'd be a bit tougher on a live orchestra. And obviously it's a lot heavier than the first one.
And I'm glad you're saying that, because honestly, I mean, they were on point. You know, to think that they had to sit there for 3 hours, yes, there was an intermission, but to think that the orchestra had to sit there, and there was some instruments that were only featured for just a few minutes of that time. But to have that discipline and ability to just sit there, and then of course for the conductor to be right on with the, I never felt like, oops, he missed a beat, or the music didn't match what I was seeing or hearing on the screen. I mean, they were just on point. And what was great, because thank you, Scalia, for getting me such wonderful seats, because I was very, very close to the orchestra. It was great because there was, you could see on his conductor stand that he also was watching the movie like in a small monitor. So he was able to really, you know, just connect very, very precisely. It was just, it was amazing. And I mean, I'm sad to say that I don't remember his name, but I'm really sorry about that.
Well, that's just, that's great, actually, because that means you got lost in the art. I mean, I think sometimes we see a great concert and we forget who the backup guitarist is, or we forget who the band was, and that's just the sad realities of the music business or film business. But, you know, I can't even count how many times you and I have watched this movie together, and I was, when I did the preview, I talked about I saw this when I was 15, and I was obviously had an attachment to it very quickly. And even yesterday when I was watching part two, I was just thinking it must have just been so amazing to hear the scores that, like, this score could only go in this movie. It's not like you hear certain rock and roll songs.
It's
pretty
romantic. It's very European. It's very Italian. And being that we have that kind of feeling of in our blood, you know, because of the nationality that we are, and we have those characters in our family, and you know, it was just a beautiful experience. And I want to thank Segerstrom again. It was a beautiful experience. But what I would like to speak before I you know, let you go on to the rest of your wonderful podcast is, I think that what you talked about earlier when we first started, the arts are very, very important. And I hope that whatever level any of the listeners can do, anything you can do to promote the arts, whether it's participation to go visit a museum or to sketch something yourself or to pass it on to our grandchildren and our children. And even our seniors, you know, they love the arts. They have wonderful experiences. And I hope that in the future we can see more of this combining the live instrument with the beauty of film, because it's a full package. And it really makes you feel better. And I had had a long, exhausting few weeks. I had been traveling, and I actually was on my way home prior to this event. I hadn't even gone into my home yet. And it was the spark that I needed, and really, really enjoyed this opportunity. So thanks again, Segerstrom. Thanks, Paul, for what you do to keep promoting the arts. And like I said, please promote the arts when you can. And it's good for all of us. It's good for our souls.
Yes, and we. Last thing I want to say is, as Mom mentioned, this is a film. If you're Italian or Sicilian, you should check out. Again, this is one of the important parts of the arts. Is that a movie like The Godfather is the only way you're going to know. Not the only way, but it's such a great example of what your culture is, what your culture was, and possibly has been lost in some ways. So The Godfather is a great way to see how it's, you know, we're loud and we're boisterous, and when we could drink, we would drink lots of wine, you know, or whatever, and eat pasta.
No, don't forget the pasta. Don't forget the
right.
Eating with the pasta on the red sauce.
And the pasta and the meatballs, but most of all, the loyalty, I think, is something that
love in the family.
Yeah, I think the loyalty thing was something that my mother and I have from my grandmother, who was Sicilian Italian and was very, very loyal. That was probably her number one trait. So I want to thank Segerstrom for co-executive producer Carolyn out. We love what you do. We love, and again, we never expect. We appreciate, right, Mom?
Yes, we appreciate.
We appreciate.
Nothing, appreciate everything.
Yes, so I'm quoting my mother. I've heard that my whole life. I finally get it. So with that, we'll wrap this up. Thank you so much, everyone out there, all the support. And like I always say, whether you're listening in morning, afternoon, evening, make sure and watch a good movie today. Aloha.
Aloha, Paul. Thank you for having me.